It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at the $1 million top prize when you download and sign up using promo code TBPN. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. Then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing position, and more. Even though you may not be able to hit the course with the pros, DraftKings is giving you the chance to scratch your competitive itch and reign supreme. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code TBPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. That's code TBPN, and you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Spurscast, episode 606. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the Spurscast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Colin Reed. In this episode, Colin and I will discuss the Spurs and their last three games and explore the different reasons why the team is struggling at the moment. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. Colin, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. You know, we can't say the same for the Spurs if we're going to go into some details here about, you know, I was just telling you this off the air. I think, in my opinion, just me, my voice almost sounds like a broken record here, because it's like, I want to say it's been like the last 3 weeks where I've kind of just been exploring a lot of these different problems for the Spurs, and they just continue to compound, and we've seen that with the way the team's playing. So we're going to do Spurscast, listeners. We're going to talk recently about how the Spurs have played since I last recorded, but then also we're going to, we're just going to take like a deep dive into all the different reasons to really explore why this team is struggling so much, and I wanted to get Colin's perspective on a lot of these issues. I know that if you've been listening to me weekly, I've kind of covered these issues in past episodes with other guests, but I kind of want to get Colin's perspective on a lot of the issues going on with the Spurs right now. So let's go to begin first with how the team is performing and the latest news. So they did, you know, I last recorded on a Friday last week, so it's only been three games since they played. So they did go 0-3 in these last three games. Let's go back to Saturday. They lost to the Indiana Pacers at home in overtime. The Spurs were favored by 7 points in this game. It looked like it should have been a win. No Sabonis for Indiana, no Brogdon. But then, you know, the Spurs, they did lead by 11 at one point, but then of course they got it was actually the bench that got outscored by 24 points in this game. And so they ended up going to overtime, but they lost there in overtime by 6 points. And this is just after they had just played a double overtime and lost to the Atlanta Hawks. So that's two overtime games in a row. Then we go to Monday. This is the Spurs' closing game at home for that 9-game homestand, and they did not play well. They lost by 24 points to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Spurs were actually favored by more in this game by 8 points, and they trailed, and they ended up falling behind by 32 points. One player who was out for the Spurs, it was DeJounte Murray. So he was out for that game, but again, this is just, you know, there was really no excuse for losing to Cleveland and getting blown out, but we're going to talk about one of the reasons for that in a little bit, based on one of Coach Pop's responses. And then just the most recent loss came on Wednesday. The Spurs went back on the road where they were having more success, and they actually played better against the Denver Nuggets, but overall they did lose by 10 points. San Antonio built a 10-point lead early in the game, but then Denver went up by 20 in the fourth quarter and pretty much put the game away, and Coach Pop, you know, subbed out all the veteran players and put more of the younger players in to close out the game. A player who was out for Denver was Jamal Murray, but Denver still got the comfortable win. And I will note that, you know, the Spurs did play better, but also you know, Denver plays at a very slow pace, so like they weren't just like a lot of the Spurs' issues that had been happening at home against those faster teams, those quicker teams. Denver wasn't going to exploit those issues. So on paper, it did look like a better game, and just even watching it against Denver. So you know, what's going on with the Spurs right now? They are on their third four game losing streak. They're now 6-11 post All-Star break. They have lost 9 of their last 11 games. Overall in the standings, they're 24-25, ninth out west, so they are still in play for that play-in game right now if the season ended today. They're 20th on offense, staying right where they were last time, and they've fallen down to 11th on defense, and they have just 23 games left. So, Colin, what are some of your thoughts on these last three games? And then, of course, we're going to go into much more detail on this team, all their issues right now in a bit.
Yeah, so one of the things that comes to mind is just, you know, who did we expect this team to be before the season? And that was, you know, especially looking at the West and how crowded that it was, you know, we thought that maybe, you know, a lower like 7 or 8 seed was possible, but, you know, probably fighting for a play-in spot. And they exceeded those expectations in the first half of the season. I think a lot of that had to do with a lot of factors. You know, they don't have all their guys right now in some of the games, and there is, you know, I know one of the big things we're going to talk about later, fatigue, but they also had a much easier schedule, and they kind of had this difficult situation where their 4 games that they missed due to COVID, plus just the second half being a harder schedule anyway, kind of set up this insane schedule where maybe now the Spurs are starting to look more like the team we expected them to be before the season started. It's kind of like, maybe Spurs fans were given this cruel false hope where the schedule was easier and they maybe looked like a team that was better than what expectations set. But now that the schedule is kind of much harder, we're seeing the team that maybe we would have expected to see all season long.
Yeah, and like I think we just mentioned right now, we're going to go into a little bit more detail on some of their issues at the moment. But that is interesting, you know, what you said there about kind of like those all like almost like false expectations for how well they were playing. And you're right that they did have you know, an easier schedule to start off the season. Of course, they had more of their players back before the team got COVID in those first 2 months of the season. Some other news out there, you know, just to keep in mind is that the Spurs do have an open roster spot for the remainder of the season right now. Cam Reynolds's 10-day contract did expire on Sunday, so there is a vacancy on the roster right now. They haven't signed anyone for that spot, but it is open if they do try to sign a player. And then also another interesting note is that Friday, which is you and I recorded this on a Thursday evening, so Friday, April 9th, is the playoff waiver eligibility deadline. So what this means is if there's any veteran player that that gets bought out by his team or gets waived by his team, well then that player is eligible to sign with the playoff team. But if they're not waived by Friday, then even if they get waived later on in the season, it doesn't matter. They can't sign with the playoff team and be eligible for the playoffs. And I just want to note that because I did have some questions come in online after the game against the Nuggets where fans are asking me, you know, if the Spurs continue to fall apart and maybe they want to just, you know, play the young guys for the rest of the season, could they maybe buy out DeMar DeRozan, you know, Rudy Gay, Patty Mills, you know, these veteran players to maybe go play on a playoff team? Well, now we know that Friday it's going to be too late because Friday's that deadline. So that would be the last chance for the Spurs to make that kind of move if they had to. Did you have any comments on either of those two topics?
No, and you know, I think I would certainly not expect that for any of those players, but mm-hmm. I mean, the only player which I even think there's an outside shot of that happening would be Rudy Gay. I think Patty Mills means too much to the organization for him to be bought out. Mm-hmm. And DeMar DeRozan, even if, you know, he can just walk in free agency, I think the opportunity to either re-sign him or sign and trade him is too great to just give that up by buying him out. So I wouldn't expect that to happen to any of the three. And obviously by the time this comes out, people will probably have more clarity anyway. But the only one of the three that I think there's even a remote chance at all would be Rudy Gay. And I think that that's a very small chance that would even happen.
Yeah, same here. You know, if they were maybe you know, out of the tenth seed right now, maybe like an 11th, 12th, or 13th in the West, well then maybe I could see that happening. But because they're still in, you know, technically in that playoff game type setting, then I just think that they're going to continue to, like the players have said recently this week, you know, they're going to continue to just fight it out to the end and see how far they can go with this group. So yeah, I don't expect it either. All right, so now Colin, let's just dive into our second topic, which is pretty much just exploring the different reasons why why this team is struggling at the moment. So what I did was on Tuesday, it was just right after that game against the Cavs. You know, that was a pretty bad loss for them. They lost by 24 against the Cavs, who aren't a very good team on paper by record. And I just put up it was in the morning on Tuesday, and I put up an 8-hour Twitter poll for the people that follow me, and I had about almost like close to 900 votes in this poll. And so the four categories that I told people to vote on were, you know, what's the biggest reason for the team struggling right now? Is it fatigue in the schedule? Is it lineups and rotations? Because that's one of the comments that I get a lot on Twitter. Is it the defense is just figuring out the Spurs and just packing the paint completely and just throwing off their offense? Or was it being at home? Because at that time, they were still on that 9-game homestand. And so the results were the 35% number one was the fatigue schedule, which we're going to talk about in a bit. Then it was number two was lineups and rotations, 34% of the vote. So barely edging out. So that one barely lost to the fatigue and schedule reason. Then it was defenses packing the paint, got 26% of the vote. And then very minimal votes for the being at home part, 5% of the vote. And we just saw this team lose on the road as well. So these issues have carried them over. So now let's just go into each of these categories from number one through four and kind of just really just break, just have a discussion about some of these areas of concern. So one thing that's notable is that after that loss to the Cavs where the Spurs got blown out, Coach Pop actually said, you know, he just said flat out, we look like we're fried. We just look tired. So even Coach Pop is admitting, you know, this team is just gassed. They just don't have a lot of energy at this point because of the way the schedule has been for them. You know, I explored this topic last week where if you look at the distance and miles run on the court and speed miles per hour, you know, each player for the core players, all of it is pretty much down across the board for the majority of the core players. We continue to see their shooting numbers decrease on jumpers. So we're talking about 3-point shots and mid-range jumpers. That's a sign of tired legs. There's a rise on defense and fouling the opponent. So, you know, that's also another issue on defense that usually shows is when you start fouling more, it's because you're tired. You want a possession to end. We've seen a rise in opponent fast break points, especially those faster teams are getting out on the break against the Spurs. We've seen a rise in opponents scoring in the paint. You know, that's another issue. Also a rise in opponents offensive rebounds. This is something DeJounte Murray mentioned, how teams are just getting those extra chances against the Spurs as well lately. We've also seen a decrease in the Spurs' own fast break scoring on offense. And then just parts of the schedule are what's contributing to this. You know, there's been no consecutive days off since the All-Star break, and there will not be any more consecutive days off until the final game of the season. So there's really no hope for like getting any kind of rest for this team. They also have the second toughest schedule left in the NBA. I mean, we saw them struggle at home, and that was actually against some of the easier teams they're going to play. They have some tough matchups coming up, like we just saw recently against Denver. And then also, you know, like I mentioned earlier, they've in this span, they've gone through two overtime games, one that actually went to double overtime. So like I mentioned, there's a number of reasons for the fatigue / schedule issue. What do you want to say about what you've seen or you know, based on this?
Yeah, you know, when I look at these options, you know, other than being at home, the fatigue and schedule one would most of the time be maybe the optimistic option to pick. You know, you could say, oh, well, they're not doing well because of fatigue and the schedule, and so that's going to turn around in a bit. But just kind of like you outlined just there, the unfortunate thing is, you know, the reason why that's optimistic maybe is that's something outside of their control. You know, you can't say, oh, well, there's this huge flaw in the team. It really is just kind of the schedule that they have that's causing them to maybe play a little bit worse. But kind of like you just outlined, unfortunately, that's going to last for the rest of the season. You know, they're not going to get a break from the schedule. They're not going to get a break from the fatigue. And now that they had this huge homestand, they're going to be traveling quite a bit more. Mm-hmm. And so if anything, that's going to get worse. So if fatigue and schedule really is the cause of it, you know, they are going to get some players back. I know, you know, Lonnie and DeJounte have been in and out of the lineup, and hopefully there's going to be some regulation there. But this has been a hard season for every team when it comes to injuries, especially with COVID and kind of the shorter offseason and first couple weeks of the season, preseason, training camp, all that kind of stuff. So if that really is the reason, then it would be hard to expect this to get any better, especially when you add in harder opponents and travel. So I can definitely see that being part of the problem. And if that is the case, then it's only going to get harder from here. You know, I know maybe sometimes it's easier to blame the problems on a particular person, and that kind of gets up into the next topic of lineups and rotations where, oh, well, you know, they're losing because Coach Pop's not coaching them well enough or something like that, which that would almost be better in this case because that would be fixable. But this fatigue and schedule are kind of going to be that way for the rest of the season, which makes it tough. I think a big part of it is, you know, they have the 11th ranked defense right now, and fouling and fast break points for opponents really kind of cut you off at the knees when it comes to defense. And if that continues, they're probably going to continue to drop in that area after actually having a pretty solid first half of the season on defense. So if it really is fatigue and scheduling, then the Spurs might be in for a tough rest of the season.
Yeah, no, no, for sure. And like, that's the thing is, like, as much as you want to be optimistic and say, oh, you know, they're going to get together, and there's no breaks. Like, there's literally no breaks anymore. And even, like, you know, just being able to work on your errors in practice, there's literally been no practice. All they have is shoot-arounds because, you know, there's just no time to practice because there's never – they only do practices when there's, like, 2 days off, and they just can't do that. Like I said, so, you know, they can't even work on their mistakes on the ones that they are having. So, yeah, I mean, this schedule has just been brutal for them. You know, and just to even see Coach Pop, I mean, that was literally all he said. He was just like, we're just fried. We're tired, and that's just how he expressed what happened on that blowout to the Cavs, who again were one of the bottom teams in the Eastern Conference. Let's go on to the second reasoning, you know, of the biggest impact, and that's, you know, lineups and rotations. So the most frequent comment I get on Twitter from people that follow me are you know, they're upset that Lucas Samanich isn't playing a lot. He only gets, you know, spot minutes, or if somebody's hurt, they think that Devin Vassell needs more minutes as well, even though Devin's been on the rotation all year. You know, he comes off the bench, and they also think — I also see a lot of comments of Patty Mills and Rudy Gay playing too much, the two veteran players. And then something to note is that, you know, the bench has been struggling, and, you know, that's usually a unit of Patty Mills, Devin Vassell, Rudy Gay, and then also either Drew Eubanks or Gorgui Jang. And, you know, Jang just recently, you know, just joined the team, and he's actually hurt as well with the shoulder injury. And then, you know, something to note why the bench has been struggling lately is that one of their key players is out, and that's Lonnie Walker IV. He's now missed 9 games in a row. He may return Friday against the Nuggets. He's been listed as questionable as of Thursday evening that you and I are recording this podcast episode. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, on the lineups, I mean, in my opinion, I mean, I just don't know, outside of Luka getting more minutes, like, what other options are there? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, and while Luka has shown great development, I don't know if just giving Luka more minutes automatically means that now the Spurs bench lineup is much better. And I think it's an interesting criticism of the Spurs that, oh, you know, they're going to hold on to their old guys for too long, and they're going to play the veterans for too long, and that kind of stuff. And I know that the Spurs fans are burned after seeing what they felt like that exact thing happening with Bryn Forbes and Marco Bellinelli over the past couple seasons. But we, you know, literally just had the situation where we had LaMarcus Aldridge, who's a multi-time All-Star, who wasn't playing up to the level that the Spurs kind of had expected and that he had played in the past. And Jakob Pernl in the starting lineup was awesome, and he was out with this injury, and then he came back. And I know you and I had discussed it, you know, off podcast, and we were like, well, what are they going to do? Like, what are the Spurs going to do? Are they going to have this difficult time where they have to, like, make this political move of having him in there because they don't want to, like, have the guy who's earned his way not earn his spot, you know? And no, they put him on the bench, and that eventually led to him being bought out. You know, to say that the Spurs can't make decisions like that after they just did that with someone who's honestly more high profile than Mills and Rudy Gay, you know, Mills might mean more to the organization, but they absolutely could make that decision if they had to. They, in the bubble, they didn't play Mills except for one game. So they definitely have the ability to make those decisions. And if they feel like that would fix the problem, they would do it. And kind of like I said in the last section, that would be good if that were the problem, because at least the Spurs could fix it. I'm thinking it really is more of this: the second half of the schedule is just insane, and that's going to hurt them. Kind of the rest of the year. I think that Lonnie Walker coming back will help a lot. I think that their rotation just is kind of set up in this way where when there's an injury to anyone, it's really going to hurt the bench, especially because with the starters, if someone's hurt from the starters, you can kind of bring someone up from that bench unit, which actually has a fair number of talented players, but now the bench is lacking a player. Or if someone on the bench gets hurt, now they're lacking a player. So I really think that their second unit just can't survive an injury to the starting unit or the second unit. And that's kind of their big problem right now, is that they maybe need, I don't know, more third string depth, which is crazy to say, but for the bench to get better, that's the main way forward, is just getting healthy again.
Yeah, like you know, you just said it right there. You know, Lonnie's the one player who can kind of help out this group. So maybe if he comes back, you start to see a little bit of a change. Or I do feel like Luka has some upside, but at the same time, he got his start the other day against Cleveland, where DeJounte was out. He actually got to start and got a lot of minutes, but he just didn't do much in that time that he was out on the floor. And so even him, you know, he's gonna have to go through those, you know, those second year player. You know, for him, it's almost like a rookie year, honestly, even though he's in year two, just because he hasn't played that much. So for him, you know, you're gonna get some good moments in games, but the majority of the time it's going to be very inconsistent play. And so there is some upside there. So I think Luke is one of those upside players. But again, I just don't know, like, right now how much he's going to contribute to getting more improvement for the team. So we're going to talk in this next section about maybe some different tinkering with the lineups because of what's going on offense. So let's go to the next area of concern. And that's, I feel like this almost like the scouting report. And I've been talking about this for like 3 weeks now. If you just push pause on an offensive possession for the Spurs, watch the defense. Look how close all the five defenders are in the paint. Like, at least they have 1 foot near there, and they're just like 3 or 4 feet off the Spurs' perimeter players. And a big reason for that is because the Spurs right now are just struggling to shoot completely from the outside, and it's even having an impact from what I've seen in their mid-range jumpers, which is a shot that they rely on a lot in their offense. So just like I said, you know, if you watch games, you're seeing way more zone defense from the opponents, just kind of daring the Spurs to beat them from three. Like I mentioned, backing off 3 or 4 feet. Where are the Spurs statistically right now on 3-point shooting? They're now down to 22nd in 3-point accuracy at 35.5%. They're down to 36% from on wide open threes. Again, 29th now in the NBA. They've fallen to 29th in wide open 3-point accuracy. The only two players shooting 40% or better on wide open threes, and that's again where you kind of want to be, as 40% is a good baseline, are Patty Mills and Lonnie Walker IV. And a big problem with that is that Lonnie's been out for 9 games. So, like, one of their top two shooters has literally not been on the floor with them. Rudy Gay was pretty good at being one of their wide open 3-point shooters, but even his percentage has kind of gone down just a little bit. It's down to 39% at this moment. And what I've noticed too is that the mid-range accuracy is starting to fall down each game. And I do think that, you know, just from what I've seen in the eye test, is that now that defense are kind of shrinking the floor because they're just hanging around the paint, well, then now all of a sudden all those like mid-range jumpers that DeJounte was getting pretty wide open, and DeMar DeRozan and some of the other players, they're not that wide open. A lot of those have been more contested type of looks, and so because of that, just even their mid-range jumpers that they usually rely on, those are becoming very even more inefficient shots from what I've seen. We also see, you know, because of the areas on offense struggling right now with the shooting, assists are down, and you do see what the Spurs do is they have to go to just to get points on the board, they have to go to way more one-on-one iso play. That you'll see like DeMar take over for 4 or 5 possessions in a row, then you'll see DeJounte, or maybe you'll see Derek White, and you just don't see that the reason why is because like their normal motion offense of moving the ball, it's not getting anything because the defense is just it doesn't work if you're doing all these cuts and screens and everything like that. If the defense isn't respecting your 3-point shot, if they're just backing off you and completely playing a zone defense, then it doesn't really work to do a lot of those off-ball movements and moving the ball around. It doesn't really get the defense moving if none of your players if your players are struggling from three. And then also, I think that this is a reason why we've seen some of their spikes and bad defensive numbers, is because when you have bad offensive possessions, it can lead to transition defense, a lot more transition opportunities for the opponent, or you just can't set up your half-court defense, which is one of the areas where the Spurs are pretty strong. So I think that there's almost like a factor where they're communicating the offense and defense, where one doesn't play well, and then the other one, you see the effects on the other side of the court. What have you thought about the shooting numbers and how opponents are playing them?
Yeah, you know, it kind of highlights two problems that I think that the Spurs have been plagued by for several years here, in one of them. You know, actually, it's three-point shooting, but three-point shooting frequency was the problem before. Their accuracy was generally fairly high, and now it's the accuracy that's low. But I honestly think a bigger problem than that, and it's been a problem for the last couple seasons, is just creation. You know, the Spurs have players who can make passes. You know, DeJounte Murray has hugely improved in that area over where he was at the beginning of his career. But, you know, creation not only involves finding other players and creating shots for them, but it's also creating shots for yourself. And if you look at a lot of the players who would fill that creation role on the Spurs, other than Derek White, they're not taking pull-up threes most of the time. They're taking, you know, either spot-up threes, which is created by someone else, or kind of mid-range jumpers after a drive, or shots at the rim after a drive. And so this pack-the-paint strategy can actually neutralize the Spurs creators, because you can kind of pack the paint against someone like DeMar DeRozan or DeJounte Murray, and then kind of have, you know, the defenders stay home on the shooters, and now all of a sudden that creation is a lot harder to do. So you think about some of the teams that are like championship level in the NBA, and a lot of them have these players that are high-level creators for themselves or for others. You know, the Nets have several. The Lakers have LeBron James. The Bucks have Giannis. You know, you can kind of just look at, like, the best teams in the league, and you can see that they have these high-level creators who can create shots for themselves or others at basically any time. And the Spurs have players who are good creators, but they are unfortunately, like, have these maybe flaws in their offensive games where a strategy like packing the paint shuts multiple of those creators down. And now all of a sudden the offense kind of just relies on them hitting shots. And when that just stops happening, all of a sudden the offense kind of starts getting a lot worse.
Yeah, no, for sure. And even, like, you know, and that's one of the issues. Like, sometimes, you know, they have had some bad defensive games, you know, you can say that, but also they've had some decent defensive games where they, like, even like just against the Nuggets in that Wednesday game, they held Denver to 106. Denver was actually played a very slow pace. They weren't, you know, scoring very efficiently except for in the paint. And but just because the Spurs go through these lulls on offense where they just can't create good shots and just generate consistent offense, that it doesn't matter that you held Denver to 106. You still couldn't win a game. And there was a game during the homestand where they held the opponent below 100 points and they still lost. So, I mean, it's just been a lot of bad offense lately. One player who's going to help out, you know, just like we mentioned earlier, it's going to be Lonnie Walker. He's, like I mentioned, he's one of the top 2 3-point shooters in wide open three. So he will help out in that 3-point accuracy, but, you know, he only gets so many shots on the team. And I wanted to ask you this, you know, I know that when you look at the 5-man starting unit of Derek White, DeJounte Murray, Keldon Johnson, Jakob Poeltl, and DeMar DeRozan, that the numbers, you know, the on-off looks actually pretty good. That's what it says now statistically, but I just feel like there needs to be some sort of change maybe. And I was wondering about Keldon, maybe moving him to the second unit. Maybe, I don't know who would start, whether it'd be like a Rudy Gay who spreads the floor, maybe bringing back Lonnie as a starter, or even though it would just make your team undersized there, or maybe even like Lucas Szymanowicz. Just because I think that Keldon is having to play at a position where it's just not, you know, he's out of position. He's having to play the four pretty much almost every night. And so we've seen that on offense, he's just been limited because they're closing the paint so he can no longer drive. And you know, it's just tough for him to get his shots. And then we see that you know, teams are completely leaving him open from three. And then on defense, he really struggles on that. And because he's out of position, the position he's guarding. What do you think about maybe, I don't know if Coach Pop would do that, maybe making a lineup change to the starting unit.
Yeah, so this might be isn't a short-term solution, but is maybe a long-term solution is throwing a giant offer sheet to John Collins in the offseason so that they can play some of their young guys in position again, which, you know, is interesting. The Spurs have been linked to some of these 4-5s, restricted free agents in the offseason, and I think it makes a lot of sense when you look at what you're saying. So they can play Lonnie and Keldon at the 3 and maybe have this young big core as well. And, you know, the Spurs aren't afraid to play 2 bigs. That's kind of been their MO for a long time. I think it is interesting because no matter who you are playing at the 4, if it's Keldon or Lonnie, that's kind of an out of position thing. And I wonder, instead of really focusing on who's starting the game at that position, maybe once Lonnie comes back, they kind of do it by who's hot that game in terms of who closes the game at that position.
Yeah.
And just kind of play it by ear from that situation, because I know there was times where Keldon was doing awesome in the starting lineup and Lonnie was kind of struggling. And so I think if they take it a game by game basis and they kind of see who has the hot hand and have that player kind of be in the closing lineup there. And then obviously they can kind of tinker with that and have lineups where both of them are out there too. But I think if they're going to have one out there, I think really figuring out kind of who's playing better that game and having them close the game, because they are still young players and they are still working on their consistency. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, no, for them. I've kind of told myself that as well, because, like, you know, when I see that, you know, when they were really struggling on offense, you know, when they would start off with, like, those holes of, like, falling down by 10, like, a few minutes into the game, I was like, I wonder if Coach Pop's going to finally make a change. And he never did. So I really feel like, almost in a way, even if if they're going to struggle through it, he just wants to see, you know, what is, by the end of the season, what is his data going to say on this unit of, like, you know, Derek White, Keldon, you know, DeJounte Murray, all three of them together, Jakob Poeltl, and just see what it says. And I agree with you, you know, there's a reason why they've been linked to all three players: John Collins, Jared Allen from the Cavs, and also Lauri Markkanen from the Bulls. You know, one of these players who can kind of play the 4-5, and I think that, yeah, that they definitely want to get some young big out there. And of course, they're going to have all that cap space this offseason. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, again, like, it almost sounds like doom and gloom again, another episode. You know, I apologize, first cast listeners, but that's kind of where the team is. And I just wanted to explore, you know, get Colin's, you know, thoughts on how the team's performing and just in those different areas. You know, obviously we see, you know, that there's this different there's a lot of different reasons why they are struggling. That's what I really want to explore here on this episode, and you know, not go too stat heavy on it. But you know, as we kind of both mentioned, I mean, normally you can be optimistic and say, oh, you know, they're gonna fix this, they're gonna improve on that. It's really tough in this scenario just because of the schedule that they have, and just, you know, the level of opponents they have to play, but then also the amount of games they have without any rest. So I mean, we'll just continue to see if maybe they can figure it out and get things back together before they fall out of that play-in tournament and end up. And before we start discussing, you know, the lottery here on the Spurs cast instead of, you know, maybe a possible playoff a battle for this team. So before we wrap up, don't forget to visit ProjectSpurs.com. Over on Project Spurs, Steven Anderson is continuing to keep you updated on the Spurs and their performances in each game with his recaps and analysis. You know, now that this team is getting closer to the, you know, right now they're ninth, so right now they would be projected to get the 14th pick in the lottery if the season ended today and they didn't make the playoffs. Benjamin Bornstein is keeping you a bit updated for that with his prospect watches. The latest one is over Jalen Johnson. We also have our Spurs Rewind episodes going up by Joe Garcia, and his latest one was with Project Spurs staff members Josh Paredes and Victoria Villarreal. Thanks again to Colin for joining me here on the Spurs cast, and also to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.